B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
First time we hear from the outfield in the regular season here in 2019. First time we see on the field in a regular season game in his NFL career, the rookie quarterback Jarrett Stidham takes over for the Patriots. Fourth round pick out of Auburn. The first down and 10 from the Jets 44. Takes the shotgun snap with a blitz. Pressure on Stidham, and he's brought down.
All you need is a fumble or a quick pick six, and 12's back in, where he is up off the bench with his helmet under his arm, listening to all the calls, leaning in with Josh. But I think they're just trying to take a peek here, too. Let's see if the kid can get out there and function and finish a football game. That's where he's got to be careful. Third and forever, and you just don't want to force one here to where you get yourself in trouble.
Takes the snap on third and 14, drops back, throws to the near side. Two tough for Bolden, picked off. And it's going the other way in the arms of Jamal Adams at the 30, cuts it right, 25-20, 15-10. It's a pick six for New York.
Exactly what you don't want to do.
Listen to people cheering Brady coming back.
Stays on the sideline as Tom Brady comes out with the offense.
Magic ball. Magic ball.
Called it.
What'd you call?
Nailed it.
What'd you nail?
Oh, the pick six.
Oh, that. Yeah, that was one of your more prophetic calls.
Yeah, sometimes rains in the desert.
Beetle, your microphone is not up.
Damn it.
You've been talking. I see you back there just jawing away at us, and we haven't heard a word you said.
We'll talk about the reasoning why later.
You guys see me?
I have a habit of hitting the mute button now out of fear of being up over the air when we're not supposed to be. That's all.
Why are you yelling at
engineer slash host Mark Bertrand?
Oh.
That's all.
I like it.
Hey, Jim, where's my mute button at on my thing?
I don't know. Where's your video camera?
It's time to come in studio.
What happened to the videos though?
iPad died.
Did you put nothing on the charger last night?
No, it was on a charger last night. This is the second time. It didn't happen the first time. I actually got it back up down to about 2% and then it started to go back up. For whatever reason it didn't go. I turned the brightness down and it died.
Well, I know we've only been doing this for like a month or so, but do you have a way of plugging it in while you're using it?
Yeah, it's right here. I have a massive strip right here. Dennis brought over. Big, heavy-duty sucker.
It's still losing battery while it's plugged in.
Yes.
Yeah, when you have it on video, it can do that hard.
It just drained, man. This thing, it was 100%.
But once you get it back to like 10%, you should be good. You should be able to manage it.
All right, hold on. Let me check it out. One second. I mean, we can keep talking. We're still on the radio here.
Yeah, we do that the next break. Rob Ninkovich said this over the weekend. He says in a story on Mass Live, I think Brian Hoyer will be the starter week one. Oh. And I say that because the quarterback position is one of the most important for reps under center. Seeing defensive looks, looking at coverage, understanding the offense, Ninkovich said. Look, they're not practicing right now. There's no mini camp. There's no off season. There's no training camp. We don't know what's going to happen. So if you have a veteran quarterback who's been in the system, understands what to expect, what an NFL season is like, you're going to want to go with a guy who has the veteran leadership and also has what it takes to be in that building. Look, when you're a second-year player, you really don't realize what a season's like as a starter. You don't understand what it's going to take. And not having an offseason does not help. So Brian Hoyer will be the starter week one, Rob Ninkovich. He says it. Very definitively, number one, to Chris Mason at Mass Live. And, oh, I'm sorry, it was actually on ESPN where he said it. But it was Chris Mason who wrote it up. Good job by all. Rob Ninkovich, very definitive in saying that it will be Hoyer week one, not Stidham. Doesn't sound like he is at all questioning this opinion of his, and he's sort of convincing.
Yeah.
I read it, and I said, he makes a case here. He makes a case, and not only that, it speaks to that thing that we discussed maybe a month ago, Zoe, about would Belichick soften the blow and soften the landing You know, nice, cushiony, soft landing for Jarrett Stidham. Not going to be the guy with all the pressure of week one starter status.
What was
he's
going to
be the guy who comes in to save the day
and
is the backup quarterback ascending.
What was promised to Hoyer when they went after him?
That he would compete for the starting job.
Compete for the starting job, right. It's going to be a fun three-man booth. It's going to be me and Ninkovich in the booth for preseason. So it's going to be fun to watch going back
and
forth.
And I thought
with
at
Hoyer
the time.
And Stidham.
I thought at the time that was silly in that they did it just to get Brian Hoyer on the cheap, which they did. But I didn't know that they were going to be shut down for, 3 months. I didn't
it's
know the world
like throwing,
was going to completely
like
shut down for 3 months.
Throwing him a bone, but not throwing him a bone. You know what I mean? Hey, Brian, yeah, you're the starter, but we're not playing well. We're going to make a move.
I believe it more now, given what the offseason has been.
Yeah, somewhat.
I do. If it's a normal offseason, I'm not agreeing with this take at all. I'd say, oh, hell no. No way. What have you been working on all this time? But the fact that there's been no real work going on, yeah, I could see this happening. I could see this playing out. And then when Hoyer stinks, inevitably, they can get Stidham into the game.
Yeah. And unless Hoyer's not around and Stidham's around, they're getting Stidham ready. Hoyer might not even be around the area. Not that that means anything. He knows the offense, right? Brady was never around.
I mean, just because Stidham's around doesn't mean he's any better.
It doesn't mean that, right?
Right?
Sounds like you know something.
I was just going to say, Zoe, do you know that Hoyer's not in the area?
He's not in the area right now.
Well, didn't you talk about you know where his house is last week? I feel like we just had – am I having a deja vu moment here? Didn't you?
No, you said Newton, about, right? Newton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he's not at the house.
No.
No. Well, where is he?
The hell I know.
Is he out of the country?
He probably went on one of those cheap trips because he's probably on a cruise somewhere right now.
Hey, quickly, guys, did you see the story that has been official over the last week about Kelly Ripa?
People attacking her looks?
No. About where she's been broadcasting from?
No.
So you know how every show, just like ours, is doing work from home?
Yeah, it looks like her house.
Okay, it's not her house. She's in the Bahamas.
The front door.
Her and her husband and their three kids went to the Bahamas in March, and when things started to go south, she said, let's just plan on staying here and sort of riding it out. Right. She's been in the Bahamas since March at, a house they rented. So that's where they are during all of this. And she didn't want to admit it for like 2 months because apparently she was afraid of people attacking her for having gone on vacation.
Right.
And so she just sort of avoided it and didn't talk about it. But this past week has confirmed that she is not in the States. She's been living in the Bahamas since all of this began. And I immediately thought, oh, I'm so jealous. That is awesome. Imagine having Kelly Ripa money and just being like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere really nice during all this. No, I'm not going to quarantine in New York City. I'm going to go quarantine in the Bahamas.
Oh, my God. Whew. See, our friends did that down in, this is like Fred in Tennessee, kind of.
Oh, same thing.
I would not compare Tennessee to the Bahamas, but sure.
How's Fred today? Fred was in today, right?
I don't know.
Oh.
Is he back or no?
No.
Oh, he's still in Tennessee?
Yeah. Fred won't be back for a while.
Why, he's going to stay in Tennessee?
Yeah, for a little bit.
What do you know on that front?
You're talking like nothing. You know things.
I talked to Fred on the phone a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he told me he'd be back June 8th.
That was what he had told me, too.
Right, it's 2 weeks from yesterday.
No, I think he meant two. That means he would be back in Boston because he said when he got back, he was going to be hunkering down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
After traveling, coming back to the state.
Mm. Yeah, he's going to self-quarantine, he said.
So he might be back.
Yeah.
Or is he still on
the road? I heard him say today on the air that he was going to come back, but the kids were going to stay in Tennessee for like another month. But Stephanie was going to come back with him because she didn't trust him to be here by himself.
Oh. I don't want to get into his personal life.
What are you shocked? Did you think that Stephanie was going to allow Fred to go and live by himself in their home for a month?
Well, when you say don't trust him, like don't trust him to what?
Survive.
Okay, I could see that. Yeah, all right. I mean, he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
Zoe knows more. Zoe knows something that we don't know, Hardy.
No, I don't. I swear to God, I don't.
By the way, Kelly Ripa is worth net worth $120 million.
Yeah.
$22 million a year salary.
She's crushing it, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh.
She donated $1 million. Hardy,
I moved to the Bahamas for a year or two.
She donated $1 million to COVID relief.
Yeah.
She was like, here's $1 million. So anyone who wants to get on her for not being in the country, dang, she gave $1 million.
Yeah.
So I'm not upset with her. I think it's amazing.
People were attacking her because of her lighting and lack of makeup, and then she got all pissed off and started going after people.
Oh, really? I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah.
I did not know about that. But living in the Bahamas, that can't be terrible. I mean, at some point you miss home, but that's not a terrible place to be.
No.
During all of this. 617-779-0985. Do you agree with Rob Ninkovich that it will be Brian Hoyer week one for the New England Patriots and not Jarrett Stidham? We may have to rethink some things considering how little offseason there has been for the NFL. The NFL new normal, some stuff on that. And again, we never got to baseball. The latest on baseball coming up too. Don't go anywhere.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. So and Beetle.
98.5 the Sports Hub.
What happened to the camera, Zoe? No go.
Zoe's not back yet.
Yeah, we don't have Zoe at all.
All right.
I thought it was gonna be the Hey It's Hardy show here for a second. People
Sorry.
Were getting excited.
That was a quick one.
Was it a quick break?
Very quick.
I thought it was. I'm like, whoa. Didn't expect to be back already. Anyway, Major League Baseball is going back to the negotiating table, Hardy.
Back to the drawing board.
And apparently they're coming, the owners now, not players, are coming back to the table with a new financial proposal today.
That's right.
For the players.
That's right.
Details of that scant right now. But I would say this is interesting. Interesting that baseball owners are going back with something new for them.
Yeah, they're getting away from that 50-50 revenue split. Players didn't like the idea of that, so they're going to modify that. And the players have something, too, that they're going to counter with. Not counter with, but they're both giving concessions, it looks like.
Yes.
In order to get them back to the negotiating table. The players are willing to defer some of their salary, which is already going to be prorated for the season. They're willing to defer some of that to later years so they can help the owners with their financial burdens for this season.
Right, so you can do a Bobby Bonilla payment plan.
Well,
you
know, right.
Hey, pay us a little bit over each of the next 15 years.
Right.
You know, when the sport bounces back, when the sport has its full revenues again.
Right.
Because players are going to say, hey, if we're working on a new CBA, you know that during the course of a CBA, your revenues go up and you don't ever come back and renegotiate with us in this league. The league's never done that when they're revenues exceed expectations. They've never gone back to the players because the players are not guaranteed a certain share in baseball. And I think that's their case. In other sports, you don't really, you know, you've got a better split of the money each year. Things fluctuate. There's an adjustment made every year. Baseball doesn't exactly have that because they have luxury tax, but they don't have a floor. And so I think that's probably what their case is going to be, why they need to recoup more of their money over the course of the next however many years. So maybe they get there, but if you're asking me if they have it together yet, the answer is no. It reminds me of the Stephen Drew Twitter account in 2013. Did Drew get a hit? Do you guys remember this?
Yes.
And the first 13 tweets, as I just looked today, were nope, nah, nope. It was every time he'd come to the plate and would whiff. The question would be, did Drew get a hit? And the account would just tweet out. Now there's one. Does baseball have its crap together yet? No. Tuesday, the 26th? Nope.
Well, the best joke of any of those sites is like the website name, does baseball have its crap together yet.com? I mean, yes. is it something like that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That might be what it might be.
I mean, it's amazing. It's past Memorial Day, and baseball has no clue yet what they want to do.
Well, they have a clue. They're just to be further behind when it comes to negotiating. Now, that's if you believe that the NHL is as close as we want them to be. We'll find out at 4:30 when they make the return to play plan. And I would guess at that point, Bettman will say how much of these things are in stone and how much of these things still need to be worked out. But at least they're making an announcement with, here's the plan, and we've agreed to the format, and that's the baseball hasn't gotten that far. That I mean, they're still trying to figure out, how much are we going to get paid? When are we going to get paid? You know, we got to get paid. We already said that. We already, the players, I mean, kind-hearted souls that they are, have already agreed that they wouldn't demand payment for games that they would never play. I thought that was big of them.
That is very nice.
I thought that was a major concession on their part. So, bully for them, but they're not there yet. A lot more negotiating to be done.
Yep. A lot more. Long way to go in that sport. A long way to go. 617-779-0985. Jake in Boston on Jared Stidham. Hello, Jake.
Hey. Listen, hey, boys. Rob Ninkovich is an idiot. I'll bet my 401k versus his Super Bowl ring that I'm right and he's wrong. And Zoe, you can text him that offer right now and see if he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. He sounds confident, right? Just like he was confident when he didn't take a banned substance and got suspended for 4 games. That Rob Ninkovich, right? Listen, say all you want about veteran experience, but we know that the Belichicks and Stidhams are infatuated with each other. And there was another post over the weekend, this from Jared Stidham himself, him in Martha's Vineyard with DJ Mattis, who has no football experience, is only employed because Steven is a frat brother of his. But Stidham has this bro post, and look who's in the comments. It's Bill's daughter-in-law, Jennifer, with a comment saying his granddaughter misses him so, so much. Blakely says, I love you, I miss you, and I hope you can come back. This thing has more clicks than Mean Girls. And so I don't know if you had a type of relationship like this with Belichick's kids or Belichick's grandkids or Parcells' grandkids or your coach at Maryland's grand. I mean, this is not normal.
Jake,
They're infatuated. Yes,
Jake, couldn't the move of starting Hoyer be to protect Stidham and try and make things easier on Stidham? Couldn't you see that being the case?
I mean, if he totally craps himself, but no, this has gone on well before Hoyer was in the mix, and David Andrews is also part of this.
I know what you're talking about. But I'm saying that Bill could do it because he doesn't want Stidham to embarrass himself in any way, and he wants him to have a real soft landing and wants to make the transition as easy as possible because he's very much invested in the success of Stidham.
Oh, sure. But then again, Bill could have, stuck him behind the greatest quarterback of all time for another year and got rid of his two overpaid safeties, knowing he's already on the books. He's already paying Tom Brady $13 million. So this isn't like a training wheel for Jared Stidham. He's the guy. He's been the guy for a long time. And I did mention David Andrews is part of this. He is part of that clique. The last year when David Andrews was sitting out due to injury, he wedged himself firmly in that clique. Him and Jared Stidham have been spotted over and over and over again together. This is clicked up like a high school gym.
Maybe they're just friends. Maybe he likes them.
You're going way too deep down this wormhole of studying Instagram, man.
He's right, though. That post is right.
What's so wrong about that?
What post, Jim?
C.J. Mattis apparently works for the Patriots, went to Rutgers, was on the islands this weekend with Stidham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is C.J. Mattis's job?
Coordinator of player operations and engagement, according to his LinkedIn.
What the frick does that mean?
He carried Brady's...
He's a former lacrosse player.
He carried Brady...
I'm serious.
Qualifications, I know Steve Belichick, and I played lacrosse. You're hired.
He had to carry Brady's massage table on and off the plane.
Got a nice handlebar mustache, too.
Yeah, he's got to shave that.
Zoe, you know this guy?
Oh, God, yeah.
What's his job?
He's quality control. He helps with everything.
Quality control.
He coordinates the operations of the players, Beetle.
That's the title you get when you don't really have a job here.
That's when you work for Starkist Tuna.
No, he helps get it, make sure everybody's on the plane. We line them up. He does a lot. He does a lot.
That sounds like assistant to the traveling secretary more than quality control.
He is not Dwight Schrute. He is not Dwight.
No, he's George Costanza.
I would say he was more of, he's more of like Jim Halpert. Yeah. He's like a Jim Halpert type. Good kid, good worker.
Good kid, good worker. Okay.
Quality control?
I
just can't believe we're talking about Mattis right now.
Well, I don't know how he leads to him being the starting quarterback. Because he's friends with Steve Belichick?
He is the coordinator for player operations and engagement.
No, hold on.
That's his title.
He's making, all Jake has said, and Jake's been very consistent on this, he has said that Bill has, you know, a special investment in Stidham and his success, and believes that there is an element of, I guess, a social clique in addition to that, that he's close with Steve Belichick, close with Steve Belichick's wife, the wives are close, that there's been a lot of social time together outside of football that has impacted it and made the process more political than it would typically be. Does that make sense?
No, because I don't believe Belichick's going to use that and to say, he's not as good a quarterback, but he hangs out with our family, so we're going to have him be our starting quarterback.
I would agree with that, but I also think Belichick believes in Stidham, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, it's really normal for the quarterback to hang out with the center. That's the guy you should be hanging out with.
Yeah,
Andrews went to Georgia. The other kid went to Auburn. David was hurt all year, so you probably stand around a lot and you become good friends with the kid. It's no big deal here. Big deal. He's freaking friends with Stidham. Jesus. Yeah, Brady didn't hang out with anybody at this point. You know, back in the day he did. He hung out with all the linemen and Lonnie Paxton and that.
You ever hang out with your coaches, though, socially?
Yes.
Yeah?
Bo Pelini. We used to go drinking over at his house all the time. Paul Boudreau. Steve Stidwell used to have us over for crab boils. It was awesome. Carl Smith. Ernie Zampezi. One of the weirdest nights ever. Cooked a steak. And he said, I'm going to cook you guys the perfect steak. So it was me, Bledsoe, Tupa. We go over to Ernie Zampezi's house. He has this hand-cut steak. It's literally 3 inches thick. And it takes up the whole grill. And he pours out a whole bottle of sea salt all over like this pan, and I'm like, what are you doing? That's too much salt. You can't put that much salt on a steak. Put the steak on it, patted it in, same thing, did the same thing with pepper. He said, we're gonna put this on a grill. He says, I'm gonna put this thing on low. He goes, we're gonna drink like 5 bottles of wine, and we're gonna come back in about 2 hours, and that's gonna be the best steak you ever had. It melted in my mouth. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe how much salt he put on it. I hang out with my coaches, sure. Okay. I eat chicken wings with Charlie Weiss. So my favorite Charlie Weiss story, we went to Hooters when I first went down to Charlie loves Hooters. But when I first went down to the Jets, and Charlie orders 3 dozen of chicken wings. I said, these are great. Hooters has the best wings, so I get the wings. Charlie orders his naked without the skin on him. I said, what are you doing? He goes, it's less fattening. He ate 3 dozen skinless wings. It was unbelievable. Extra blue cheese.
Hardy did a little power washing over the weekend, and there were some mishaps, Hardy?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we get to those?
Did you cut a hole in something?
You're going to have to wait.
Oh, I can't wait
Hang
for
on.
This.
Hang on. Okay. That's next.
All right.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So stop, collaborate, and listen.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Hardy, over the weekend. Had a little extra time, do a little work around the house.
Are you running out of projects, by the way?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Well, this one has to be done. I mean, but I have done things that didn't need to be done, and it's okay. Great. I'm glad they're done, but this one had to be done.
You had a power washer out. For what purpose?
Can I borrow your power washer?
Sure.
What was the main purpose of your power washing?
Front porch and the back deck.
Okay.
Ooh, I know what's going to go wrong on the deck.
No.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. No. No. That's not it. I decided.
So, no, all that means is you made the mistake before you got to the deck.
Yes. I made the mistake before I got to the deck. I made the mistake after I had done the front porch. I said, you know, because I'm so smart,
yeah,
what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the grill from the back deck and I'm going to take it out into the driveway and I'm going to essentially dismantle the grill, right? I'm going to take all the innards out of it, the grates, the deflectors, all this stuff. And I'm not only just going to scrub down the grill,
what kind
but
of grill
I
you got.
I got a Weber.
You got the flavorizer bars?
I did that. I did that this week.
Okay, and I'm going to power wash.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no, Jesus.
The parts of the grill,
oh,
right?
Jesus, this what? Is a bad idea.
Right? Why? What's wrong with this idea?
Just bought another one.
No.
First of all, those bars that you pulled out, the deflectors, as you called them?
Yeah.
How old's your grill?
Less than 2 years.
Okay. In a couple of years, buy a new set.
Sure. Yeah, you got to replace that stuff because they get too gross. And
yeah.
Because it helps the taste.
I agree. There is a flavor element, and I don't get the grill like spotless clean. I'm like, no, that's some good charred fat down there. That's like the pork. That's the flavor, you know?
I love that.
So, you know, I don't get in there with a Q-tip and a toothbrush, but I decided at some point as I had the stuff down there in the driveway and I'm power washing, I'm like, you know, really, to get this one section here and to keep any gravel, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift up the grate with one hand and I'm going to power wash with the other hand.
I don't like any of this.
No, and you know what happens when you get just a little bit of that water on your hand?
Yeah, it takes a hole through it.
It takes off the skin like a sandblaster. And I did it not once, but twice. Once on this hand, and let me tell you something, this wound is angry and red. And the skin is just now starting to grow back. The one on the finger was more of just kind of like a glancing, but I got myself just in like a half-inch section there on my hand. You got to be careful with these things.
Yeah, it should be a rule. You're not allowed to power wash anything you're holding.
That's the tip. Thank you. And I was trying to decide how I was going to make this a concise tip.
There
don't power wash anything with one hand that you're holding in the other. It's a terrible, awful idea.
I do it barefoot because like I'm usually doing my sidewalks or outside or outside of the house.
Terrible, awful idea.
So then, like when you're doing all that, your feet get dirty. So when I was a dumb boy, I tried to wash my feet off with it, and I put a hole in the top of my foot, and I still have a scar from it. I'll show you the scar next time I see you in studio.
Yeah, I mean, this is my only.
This is like 10 years ago.
I am late to the power washing game. This is only I got the power washer
foot
last year.
Your foot.
Yeah, it's the only second time I've ever used one. So I don't know. You know, I just figure, wow, that's a high pressure spray there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, you could get hammered one night and carve your name in the side of your house.
Well, I just for funsies, you know, I've got the different nozzles on this thing. They're 3,100 PSI. So I clipped on like, you know, just the tight stream one that doesn't fan out at all.
Yeah, that one will carve stuff.
You put a hole. I put a hole right in the asphalt. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you want the fan. You want a fan. You just want to just.
Yeah,
just
you
got to
go like middle
forth.
Nozzle. Yep. I got like five different nozzles for that thing. You just stick with the one in the middle. That's good for you.
That's what she said.
The middle one. So that would be my tip, and Zoe's would be don't power wash barefoot, or if
don't
you do, don't try and don't try and clean your feet off with the. But I'm not laughing at you, Zoe. I did. I thought it was okay to hold something in one hand and power wash the other.
It's water.
It's water. How much? Be like the nature of water. It's like the Bruce Lee documentary we're going to watch.
Yeah.
Right?
Be water.
Flow through
be
anything.
Water.
But it can take down walls.
Okay.
There it is. There it is. All right. Well, that's good advice, Artie. I'll be... I'm expecting a power washer to arrive on my doorstep. I was expecting it to arrive on my doorstep. Now I have to go pick it up. But
where's that coming from? Thailand? Where'd you get that one?
No,
you got
no, no.
Did your Wuhan wipes show up yet, Mr. Importer Exporter?
There's been There's been a slowdown of the flights that are leaving China. So,
Jesus Christmas.
I've acquired many wipes, just not the Wuhan wipes.
Your power washer from Laos hasn't arrived yet? I'm shocked.
I've acquired other wipes.
I was at the Home Depot in Walpole. They got them lined up all outside, Beetle.
What?
Power washers.
Yeah, the problem was I ordered it a month ago, and they said it was in stock and would be here later that week, and then it turned out it wasn't, and then they wouldn't let me cancel my order, which was... I could have canceled it if I was willing to wait on hold for like 3 hours on the phone. So I was like,
on an international call.
Not an international call. A domestic retailer. domestic retailer.
You wanted power washer. We thought you wanted washing machine.
Ship to shore call where we're trying to reach Mark Bertrand about the delivery of his power washer. Operator, get me Quincy Mass, U.S.
Jesus.
Go to the store and buy one.
Well, I would now. I would now, but a month ago, things were a little different. And I was not about to go power washing shopping a month ago. No, I'm good. Like, I was all set a month ago at doing something like that.
Yeah, the line.
And now, a month later, it's finally going to arrive. And so it was like, oh, I'll just wait for it to get here. Now it's been a week of dealing with a certain large shipping company getting it to the door. Like, Jesus. What's the problem, guys? Just bring
it. Kidding. I tell you what, the lines have dissipated, though, outside.
After three tries, I just called them and said, you just keep it there. I'll come get it. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lines outside are down. The lines inside are increasing exponentially. I don't know what's going on.
Yes, they're letting more people in, but they're letting everybody in, but it's going to take longer to check out. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yep. Today's takeaways. By the way, Jim Louth had a power washing story, but he had to step out this segment for a very important meeting.
Oh, jeez.
That was going to be part of it.
What, do you have a big digital meeting?
He's not back there. Where did he go? Corporate Jim.
Him and Handy are doing digital stuff.
What was this? You know what?
He's getting yelled at for not getting on a cameo.
I think he started to tell me off the air at T-Bone. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember what his power washing story was?
Yeah, he said that he was one time on a ladder power washing, and I'm like, I didn't fully grasp the whole, wait, you're on a ladder? What happened? And he power washed, for some reason, a barrel from up on a ladder.
No,
I wanted to hear
no.
this ridiculous story.
I know what it was.
He burned a hole in something.
The power washer
right
gets
the barrel.
So bloody hot. And by the way, mine is, I'm sure a lot of them do, stamped right there on part of the engine housing. It's carved in the metal. It says hot, H-O-T.
Yes.
Like whatever you do, dumbass, Hardy, don't put your hand on this thing while you're pull-starting with the other hand. I got a real problem with the off hand when it comes to power washing, is the moral of my story. But Jim apparently was up on a ladder not paying attention, and when he climbed back down, his power washer had burned a hole into a garbage barrel that it was next to.
Because
the thing does tend to move a little bit.
I thought
you're pulling on
the
hose.
PSI. I thought he cranked up the PSI and was washing a barrel and then put a hole right through the barrel.
No, I don't think that was it. I think he burned
mistake.
A hole in the barrel, which wouldn't you notice the smell before you noticed anything?
Wouldn't it be great to hear this story from the man himself?
Well, he's in a very important meeting.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We had him all lined up to tell his power washing story, and now he's not going to tell it.
He was probably so excited, too, because it was probably an electrical plug-in power washer.
Well, that's just it. He would have never even gotten to it because we would have been laughing so hard at his one gas-powered tool that he
Hardy.
Owns.
He probably has that stupid yellow
lithium.
One. You
it's
know
a
the tall
one.
You know the tall yellow one. You have to plug it in. It like doesn't work. Has like no pressure. That's probably the one Jim had.
No, he says he's got a gas powered one. It's the only gas powered tool that he owns that his grandfather gave to him. Like, here you go, fossil fuel, you idiot. Quit plugging stuff in and using batteries. You need real power. It took his grandfather to give him an actual power tool, and of course he screwed it up. Maybe it's better that Jim doesn't use real tools. If he's burning holes and stuff.
Jim missed that whole bucket. Like I gave away three lawnmowers, and the guys were so excited because of the motors. They said these are real good motors. This is why we want this stuff, not because of that plug-in crap. This is like a real working motor.
Were they making go karts?
Hey, hell if I know.
Do they want the lawnmower engines for?
Because they're engines. Like Sears and Stratton, they're good engines.
Hardy, you grew up in an area where that definitely was going on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we used to do that on bikes.
Go-karts and mini bikes.
Yeah, so, go-karts. Hardy, a lawnmower engine.
Hardy, the mini bikes.
And mini bikes.
You had a big flat piece of wood that you put padding on, and then you staple gunned the seat, and we had this long seat, and we rigged it to the chain, and then we had that thing fired up, man. You couldn't stop, but that thing moved.
Oh, yeah. And I was allowed to ride one when I was about 8 years old, like around the backyard. I don't know how any of us survived, quite frankly.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Time for today's takeaways brought to you by Waken 180 Weight Loss. They'll coach you up virtually right there at your home while you sit at home until you're allowed to go back to work. Summer is coming. Drop that weight. Drop it quickly with Waken180weightloss.com. 6 locations. Check it out for the nearest one nearest you.
I'm laughing at a tweet that was just sent our way of someone saying, I hope Hardy's power washer doesn't clog at any point. Because then it will look like this.
Yeah, then
it's a kid spraying himself in the face with a hose.
I'm getting a lot of backup on the people who have done the same thing. My friend Steve just texted me. You guys know him. He got himself. He showed me a picture of the wound on his thumb power washing this weekend. There's Justin who said he's zipped a 2,700 PSI power washer across all his toes on his right foot last year. And then there's Tony who says he power washed his ankle, and it didn't hurt, but he was curious why there was a snow-white circle the size of a quarter on his ankle. Then it turned pink, and then blood started pouring out of it. Like, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
At first, it's just like, huh, that's odd. What's on my hand? And then it starts bleeding, and you can't stop it.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. By the way, there might be a developing back and forth between players and the NFL.
Oh, really?
Keep an eye out for that over the next 24 hours. J.C. Treader just tweeted out, players, our union has not agreed to any reopening plan. Any reports about coming back to work are hypothetical. You will hear from the NFLPA when there are new developments.
Mm.
Oh, boy. Oh. So as much as we say, well, you know, go forward. The NFL is just going to do it. Well, you've got a player for the Cleveland Browns that is involved in the union, player president. He says, yeah, not so fast. We haven't agreed to anything yet.
Huh.
Okay, well then. To today's show in the takeaways, here's your awkward silence of the day. The Celtics are in the East and play in the Eastern Conference playoffs. How do you feel about their chances of getting to the NBA Finals? Anyone?
I was eating potato salad.
Oh, well, let me know next time. I just, you know, I like to defer to one of the actual, you know, either Zolak or Bertrand and chime in on things like that. But if you're eating potato salad, so
I was thinking, though,
just give me a heads up. Maybe you can give a sign on the monitor so I know you're busy eating and you can't conduct your radio show at that moment, and I'll just hop on for you.
Do we have time for one more T-Bone? Maybe Zoe on the Bucks receivers today. This is pretty good.
For the first time, do you think he went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That felt so good. Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
What?
Tangway. Eating.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
It's
for the
like
first
the
time,
thing.
You think he went, that oh, was my it. God. Lantana, that's right.
Doesn't it sound like Tangway?
Yeah, Tangway's like, just put the garlic bread down right here. Just put it right over here. Put it over here.
Mm. Yes.
Pull it up, Tom, now. I want to hear it. Oh, my God. That felt so good. Come on, magical T-Bone. Let's go.
That was talking about Tom Brady when he gets his new receivers, his new weapons.
When he threw that first 17-yard outcut, and Evan is just plucks it at Godwin. He's like, wow.
Do you guys want some bread? Help yourself if you want it.
Hey, Gary.
That's good garlic bread, huh, Joe?
It's good garlic.
Yeah, Thanks. You can just throw them down. Yeah, like cattle.
Oh my god, I'm gonna throw up.
There it is. All right, we're back at it tomorrow at 10. Calgary, Mads, coming your way next. Have a great afternoon. See ya.
Hit me on Cameo. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.